Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
I'm so tired. A John Lennon song from the Beatles' so-called White Album, in honor of the Grizzlies, who got into Denver at like 3 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah, they got quite the task ahead of them tonight. You were there last night. Hey, you could still be tired. Are you so tired? Are you?
I'm pretty tired. Yeah.
I like the fact that when I was reading your piece at the Daily Memphian, it reminded me that there was a first half that was kind of fun.
Now, if you were like living and dying strictly with the Grizzlies, you could have watched that first half and said, man, we're shooting like this and we're only up 5. Yes. That's real life. But if you're just a basketball fan watching the game, like I imagine around the country, people watching the game, like that was a great first half of basketball to watch.
Yeah. You know? Ant and Ja going at it. Grizzlies shot 65%. From the field, 70% from three in right. That first half.
This was a game where John Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson combined to shoot 15 of 30 from three in FedEx Forum against a good team, but not the Thunder.
Right.
And you lose like that. That tells you, to me, it tells you a lot about the defensive infrastructure around them at this point.
Yeah. So we had the third quarter, which was something else. 18 of 21, 7 of 8 from 3, 9 of 10 from the line. Obviously, Ant is a phenomenal basketball player, but what happened?
Well, this is, I mean, 52 is a record, but like they've had lots of other halves 50, and quarters like this season. Yep. And so it's a similar thing where, you know, at some level, it's like, well, guys gotten hot, and you could be in the empty gym not shooting that well. But when you let good players get comfortable and get right into a rhythm, then they start just shooting crazy, you know? And it's you know, it's part them, but it's part your defense is letting them get comfortable and letting them walk in. You let Anthony Edwards, to watch him, a guy that big and that athletic should not shoot the ball that smoothly.
It's incredible.
And it's just, you know, so they let him get comfortable. And a lot of that game, that was very playoff-esque in that the Wolves were hunting for specific matchups. Let's get our best scorers on their worst defenders and let's go at them. And that happened from the jump. Like Julius Randle, they ran Julius Randle, Rudy Gobert pick and rolls like three straight times to get a switch for Julius Randle to go to Zach Edey and hit three straight jumpers. And then Edwards was scoring on everybody, but there was a long stretch of that game when he was hunting out Aldama and he was scoring on Aldama. He scored on Aldama more than any other individual defender. And, you know, that's just the way it works, man. You find the weakness and you hammer it.
So when you said defensive infrastructure, is that largely roster?
Yes. Coaching matters a lot for defense, but I'm talking about mostly roster. I mean, if you think about, and it's a mixture of questionable decisions and bad luck. It's both. But if you think about the roster that this team came into the season with, which may have already had its own problems, but if you go back to that roster, and if you rank like all the players 1 through 15 and just in terms of like defensive ability, Well, Brandon Clark, Jalen Wells, Marcus Smart, and Jake LaRavia are all in the top half of the list. And none of them are available to play right. for you in that game. And so it's just the defensive ability around the three guys has just is really falling apart over the course of the season for various reasons. I mean, I do think, not to excuse like the questionable decision making, but if Brandon Clark and Jalen Wells are both in that game, like that's a lot different game.
I think both those things are true. You can't lose those two players heading into the playoffs and just
absolutely brutal.
Having said that, the fact that it becomes so brutal suggests that there wasn't enough else around them.
100%.
They were more important than they should have
been. One guy's a rookie and one guy is coming off a major injury and like doesn't
and that's
has never
it?
Played right. more than 20 minutes a game, and like it's not a huge shock that you have injury issues with Brandon Clark. That's baked in.
Right. Yep. So yes, it's absolutely a blow and it's bad luck, which exposes the problem.
The two things compounded each other. Right.
In terms of that, it's just, you know, and there'll be a lot of time for this stuff, and we've talked about it a lot.
They're still going to win 47-49 games,
exactly,
by the way.
That's the thing.
You know?
Is
yeah.
In the end, like, they played Charlotte the other night. Like, look what they do. Like, they're a good basketball team.
That's right.
They're just
not as good as they should be right now.
They're not as good as they should be, and they're not as good. I mean, we talked about this before. You've talked about the lack of athleticism on this team before. It has been
exposed
in that
game.
It has been a theme for you. But you look at, like, the middle class that team. They've got Naz Reid, DiVincenzo, McDaniels, Alexander Walker. Like,
that's
they've got... And what's the Grizzlies' middle class? You know, it's
Zach Edey's a rookie. And
Scottie Pippen was a G League guy. He's an admirable player.
Santi's a one-way player right now.
Right.
Pippen, to me, has like been the best revelation of all this. I think he's legit. But he's legit as like a really good backup point guard, third guard, right? He's your eighth guy, your seventh guy, not your fourth or fifth.
Yes. And that gets back to... You know, we talked about this. Once upon a time, 2 years, was it 2 years ago? 2 years ago that it was Dylan, Tyus, Melton, Kyle, and Adams. Some hurt, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's what was around these three.
Right.
And then the efforts have been Roddy, Zaire, Marcus Smart, Jake LaRavia, Luke, like guys who they have.
There's a scenario, in an easy scenario, like a very, very easy scenario, where last night, they could have had Marcus Smart, Jake LaRavia, and Dorian Finney-Smith all on the rotation. Like, that was
right.
that almost happened.
Do we really believe that the Dorian Finney-Smith was for want of an extra second? What was it? It was, we believe it fell apart. Why?
Well, it's somewhat unclear. The Grizzlies were offering their first this year, but they wanted Brooklyn's second back. And so,
right.
Like, at the time, that seemed like a 10-12 spot difference, right? That's not a lot of value to take on when you're giving up Dorian Finney-Smith and you're taking John Conchar's contract. Plus, Brooklyn already has, like, four first-round picks this year. And so, I don't know if it's true that the Grizzlies, that trade would have happened if the Grizzlies had not asked for the second back. If that is true, the Grizzlies should have just not asked for the second back and the trade should have happened. But I don't know for a fact that would have happened.
That is true. Remind me. Because, yes, it's hard not to think Marcus Smart would have helped and Jake LaRavia would have helped last night. What did they get by giving up Marcus Smart when they gave up Marcus Smart?
It's a good question. I mean, they got his contract off the books this summer, which either A, could help enable a Jaren Jackson Jr. renegotiate and extend if he does not make All-NBA, and I think they wanted to start to carve that path in case they needed to go all the way down the path. I don't think they finished carving the path that they needed, but they've started to carve
right.
it. And, or if that doesn't happen, it creates if Jaren makes All-NBA and you do the extension in a different route, it gives you more flexibility to do something else. I mean, basically they decided they didn't think Marcus Smart was going to help them. And if he's not going to help them now, why do you want him on the books for $20 million next season? Let's find other things to do with that, which is defensible. I just don't know. It's defensible. I don't know that it's true. When I wrote on, you can go back and read my column. I wrote it 2 hours after the deadline or whatever. The first line in that column was, first, do no harm. And my implication was, it would have been better to do nothing at all. Now, and then from there, I went on to explain, this is why I think they did what they did. The awful truth. Everyone has their reasons, that old French movie taught us. And so there was a rationale for what they did, but that doesn't mean they're right. And so I don't know. They obviously determined Marcus Smart's not really going to help us, and I don't know that they were right about that.
But then also they determined, and he's more movable now than this summer?
Well, if you want to make the contract go poof, that's the missing part of that thing. People say, well, you could have moved him this, right. You could have moved him this summer on a different kind of deal. If your goal was to make the money disappear, that was going to be harder in the summer than it was at the deadline. If your goal was to use the contract to get something back, to get more salary back in a different form, that's a different question.
Luke didn't play last night.
Yeah, the post-game stuff was so quick, no one had a chance to ask about that. There was other stuff to ask about. So I don't know whether there was a physical thing or it was just this guy's been struggling and this is a bad matchup. I assume it was the latter. Given the athleticism difference on the court, that didn't seem like a good game for a Luke Kennard who's been slumping.
Right.
My assumption, and I don't know whether this will be true, my assumption is he'll play tonight. I think he should. He'll be fresh. He'll be one of the few guys who's fresh.
They were saving him.
They probably should throw him out there and see if he suddenly stamps out of it. And if he doesn't, you can always put him back on the bench. But I think that was probably a bad Luke Kennard game last night.
They were faced with this dilemma after the 52-point third quarter.
Yeah.
They were faced with this dilemma of how far into the fourth to play their starter.
Yeah, and I thought, again, who knows if this will mean he'll be a good NBA head coach down the line, but on so many things, I thought his answer was really interesting and really, he really listens and answers the questions. And I asked him about this, and he basically said, I'm elaborating from what he said, but he basically said, we have an internal, decision what I'm gathering is that what's the deficit? How much time is left? Is it still possible to come back? And that they keep an eye on that. Mm-hmm. And basically the team was right on the tipping point of it the whole time. And so it was they were just close enough to keep trying and just close enough to keep trying. And so basically every time out, we were debating, should we keep trying or not? And they were always just close enough. And sure enough, they got into a 10-point game of 4 minutes to go. You can win a 10-point game of 4 minutes to go, but it was a tease. And it's not surprising it was a tease. It felt that way, right? But they were just And so you end up expending all this energy and not getting anything out of it. And I don't know. To me, that's a question. It's a question. And he said, it was a tough decision. It was not an obvious decision. And obviously, it didn't work out. But, it's easy to see how that was a tough decision to make.
My favorite answer of his last night was, and I don't know what the context was. Again, it was a quote from your piece. He said, for anyone who's suggesting, well, except for this bad quarter, he said, that's what all bad teams
all
say.
All bad teams say.
All bad teams say.
We would have done better if not for the part where we did poorly, right?
My beloved Buffalo Sabres would have had a great year this year, except for the 13-game losing streak that they had in the middle of the season.
It's not for that, right?
Just got rid of that.
If it weren't for our terrible defense, we would have been pretty good. Yeah.
If it weren't for that 52-point third quarter, I just love that one. What was his affect? I mean, his affect is probably his affect. What was his affect after this one?
He's pretty even.
Do efforts like that have any bearing, particularly on his future?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's a tough spot to be the interim coach in that situation. You got 9 games to go.
Right.
Your defense is a mess. You can't really change much scheme-wise. And, hey, you're playing the Lakers tomorrow, and then you're playing the Celtics, and then you're playing the Warriors, and this is the play. It's a tough spot. So I don't know. I think their evaluation will come when it's all over, and that'll be – I think a lot of that will do with the buy-in of the players. I don't think there's any question about the quality of his basketball mind. He's had head coaching success, and I know it's not in the NBA, but there's a pattern of head coaching success in other professional basketball situations translated. Taylor Jenkins was a successful head coach in the G League. Dave Yeager was a successful minor league head coach. Mike D'Antoni is a successful head coach in Europe. You can go George Karl, on and on and on. Head coaching, being a head coach is different from being an assistant. And he has been a head coach. It's not my Mark Averone. It's not like the guy with good ideas. It's like he has been a head coach. And so I think they like his mind. They like that he's comfortable as a head coach. And do they think he can get maximum, effort and buy-in from the stars? That's what matters.
By the way, on the national TV broadcast, and then again on the national radio show that precedes ours, they were highly focused again on Ja and his celebration. I just think
it's easy content. Point, that's what it is. Just, it's just good content.
Ja was so not the problem.
What I don't
night.
Like
it's
is
stupid.
What I don't like is the hypocrisy of the hand wringing about it when secretly you love it because it's an easy thing to talk about. He's doing you a favor to give you easy stuff to put on your broadcast and to put on your social media and to put on everything else. And I don't like the hypocrisy of all that.
I just thought, whatever.
It also had nothing to do with the game.
Not only that, he wasn't the problem. Like Charles Barkley said, yeah, he pulled the plug and blew up the Grizzlies season. Well, he did that like the third quarter. Like, John was great last night.
And John, like, you know, was putting good effort on defense. And, like, honestly, the fans were having fun with the celebration. He was hitting the threes. And, like, it literally has nothing to do with anything other than it's this phony thing. Right. And there's lots of real issues with Ja. This one is 100% a phony thing.
How were the fans having fun with the celebrations?
Apparently, I couldn't hear this because where I was, but Drew said like there were some times where he would throw the bomb and fans would go boom. and there was one thing where there was during one of the first quarter timeouts, there's one of the bits where a fan is like doing some shooting thing, right, and the fan hit the shot and the fan did the same celebration. I got no time for people trying to make something of this thing as if it matters. It does not matter.
The foul trouble didn't help. The two fouls at the end of the first half.
I don't know. I mean, to me, the foul thing, there's a level of Pavlovian to that, too, right, where it's like, you know, somebody gets a foul, get mad about it. Jaren played 37 minutes and didn't foul out. Who cares? He played 37 minutes.
Now, Isola brought it up.
Isola brought it up in the context of
being self-critical.
Yes. But honestly, he changed it quick. He took both guys out and then for like a minute said, never mind, we're playing them. Right. And I give him credit for that. I don't think Jaren would have played 37 minutes with if Jaren had gotten a fourth foul in the first minute of the second half with Taylor Jenkins coaching, Jaren would not have finished the game with 37 minutes. And so I think that's great the way Isola handled it. I don't think that had anything to do with the outcome of the game, really. Right. They're getting cooked. I do think it hurt them to get the bigs out, but they got them back in so quickly. And, like, they were both in the game at the start of the second half when the Grizzlies started getting roasted. I don't think that had much to do with the outcome of the game. I think it's an easy thing to get mad about.
Jeffrey, what's the line tonight? Obviously, they got in supposedly at 4 a.m. or something like that. They played Denver.
I'm seeing 6.5.
6.5. So they're underdogs tonight.
Yep.
This would be
It's a bad spot. It's a bad spot. It's a hard thing to win. It's the kind of game where it would be surprising to win. It would not be surprising to lose by 25, right?
Right.
But you play the games for a reason, right? No one thought San Antonio was going to win at Golden State the other night in a game they had nothing to play for, so who knows?
If you lose this game, and Minnesota, by the way, they got Brooklyn and
Utah.
So you will then be passed by Minnesota if you lose this game.
Right.
And you will be off. You'll be able to sleep in your own bed covering the play-in game, right?
The most likely scenario, I think, at this point would be the Grizzlies as the 8 playing the Warriors as the 7.
Oh, with the Timberwolves being in.
If the Timberwolves win their last two games, I think they're going to be the 6. So I think the most likely
is you're going to be.
There's still a range. All kinds of things can still happen at this point. But the most likely scenario right now, I think, is the Grizzlies as the 8 and the Warriors as 7.
So then you go to the Bay Area for that
game. I don't know whether I'd be going. I don't know if we're going to send multiple people for a single. The thing is, it's a single game that is not an elimination game. So either the Grizzlies win that game and they set up a playoff series against the Rockets, or they lose that game and they come back home to play an elimination game. Right. So I don't know if we're going to be sending multiple people to California for one game.
So, and then they would play. Then we'd be in this miserable Sophie's Choice of an elimination game.
Right. Where like both outcomes are bad in different ways,
ways.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I never did ask you about what's new in film this week, Chris.
I played John Lennon to start the segment. And so there's a documentary. It's called One-on-One. I forget the main title. It's One Something : John and Yoko. And it's a documentary. It's this Scottish filmmaker. He's done, like, he did The Last King of Scotland, which was a Forrest Whitaker thing or whatever. But he's done a Bob Marley documentary and a Whitney Houston documentary. And this is a John and Yoko documentary. And it's about their time in New York in the early 70s, I think. And it's going to be showing at Paradiso on the IMAX. So if you're a big Beatles fan, that might be something worth checking out. Other than that, there's some, you know, action movies opening up. But it's, you know, spring is a fallow period.
Fallow is a good word that you don't hear a lot on sports talk radio. So
that's what I'm here for.
I like fallow.
Vocabulary boost.
The vocabulary boost. Indy Memphis is pausing.
Yeah.
What's your understanding of
Jody Callahan, I think, did that story for us. I haven't looked into it. I assume it's a fundraising related thing. I feel like, I don't want this to sound critical because I don't know enough, but I feel like they sort of became a little bit more of an organization like related to the film community specifically and not related to the general community. And I always felt like it should be more focused on trying to draw people who aren't like part of the film scene into like see interesting stuff. And think, I hope they come back not only for the festival,
what's
but for more weekly
streams. What's the difference
streams.
There? What's the...
Well, yeah, meaning a lot of programming was more like workshop-y kind of stuff, like professional networking kind of stuff. And then I think...
As opposed to bringing in interesting films that people...
Yeah, I think some of the film stuff they brought in got to be pretty specialized, really, and a little less broad. And so, I don't know. I mean, I root for it, obviously. I hope it comes back. And I'd like to see it come back in a form that is more aggressively geared towards getting people to come see movies.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. It's Chris Thanks. Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read his piece over at the Daily Memphian. If you want something framed, I have the place for you. It's right in the name, the Frame Corner. 50 years. They've been at it for 50 years. I have used the place recently. Absolutely stunning piece that is now on our wall. So if you're getting some sports memorabilia, maybe your kid's jersey, finishing up senior year, or a beautiful piece of art, graduation pictures, wedding photos, whatever it is, your grandfather's arrowhead collection, your grandfather's flag that he had flying at his home, whatever it is that means the world to you, it'll mean the world to them, and it'll be beautiful. It's the Frame Corner, Memphis, 5035 Park Avenue. Got to take a break. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins here, 92.9 FM at ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.